The Master, a novel written by Colm Toybean and read by Ralph Caution.
Chapter 1, January 1895. Sometimes in the night he dreamed about the dead, familiar faces and the others, half-forgotten ones, fleetingly summoned up. Now, as he woke, it was, he imagined, an hour or more before the dawn. There would be no sound or movement for several hours. He touched the muscles on his neck, which had become stiff. To his fingers they seemed unyielding and solid, but not painful. As he moved his head, he could hear the muscles creaking. "I am like an old door," he said to himself. It was imperative, he knew, that he go back to sleep. He could not lie awake during these hours. He wanted to sleep, enter a lovely blackness, a dark, but not too dark, resting place, unhaunted, unpeopled, with no flickering presences. When he woke again, he was agitated and unsure where he was. He often woke like this, disturbed, only half remembering the dream and desperate for the day to begin. Sometimes when he dozed, he would bask in the hazy, soft light of Bellasguardo in the early spring, the distances all misty, feeling the sheer pleasure of sunlight on his face, sitting in a chair close to the wall of the old house with the smell of wisteria and early roses and jasmine. He would hope when he woke that the day would be like the dream, that traces of the ease and the colour and the light would linger at the edge of things until night fell again. But this dream was different. It was dark, or darkening somewhere. It was a city, an old place in Italy like Orvieto or Siena, but nowhere exact. A dream city with narrow streets, and he was hurrying. He was uncertain now whether he was alone or with somebody, but he was hurrying, and there were students walking slowly up the hill too, past lighted shops and cafes and restaurants, and he was eager to get by them, finding ways to pass them. No matter how hard he tried to remember, he was still not sure if he had a companion. Perhaps he did, or perhaps it was merely someone who walked behind him. He could not recall much about this shadowy, intermittent presence, but for some of the time there seemed to be a person or a voice close to him who understood better than he did the urgency, the need to hurry, and who insisted under his breath in mutterings and mumbles, cajoled him to walk faster, edge the students out of his path. Why did he dream this? At each long and dimly lit entrance to a square, he recalled, he was tempted to leave the bustling street, but he was urged to carry on. Was his ghostly companion telling him to carry on? Finally, he walked slowly into a vast Italian space, with towers and castellated roofs, and a sky the colour of dark blue ink, smooth and consistent. He stood there and watched as though it were framed, taking in the symmetry and texture. This time, and he shivered when he recalled the scene, there were figures in the centre with their backs to him, figures forming a circle, but he could see none of their faces. He was ready to walk towards them when the figures with their backs to him turned. One of them was his mother at the end of her life, his mother when he had last seen her. Near her, among the other women, stood his aunt Kate. Both of them had been dead for years. They were smiling at him and moving slowly towards him. Their faces were lit like faces in a painting. The word that came to him, he was sure that he had dreamt the word as much as the scene, was the word beseeching. They were imploring him or somebody, asking, yearning, and then putting their hands out in front of them in supplication. And as they moved towards him, he woke in cold fright, and he wished that they could have spoken, or that he could have offered the two people whom he had loved most in his life some consolation.